We're visiting with EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler this afternoon. Administrator, you've been in Minnesota today participating in a roundtable discussion on agriculture. Speak to me about the discussion. Where were the farmer questions and where did things end?
Well, so I just went over some of the recent things that we've done during the Trump administration, such as the commitment to the RFS, the fact that, you know, last year President Trump promised he would do E15 year-round, and he did. He promised the sanctity of the 15 billion gallons, and he proved that with the RVOs for this year. And then we just denied the small refinery gap petitions, once again showing his commitment to the corn farmer and to agriculture. I talked about the replacement for the waters of the U.S., the Obama-Biden rule that, you know, basically put Washington, D.C. in charge of farmland all over the country, and our replacement rule, which is the Navajo Waters Protection Rule, which, for example, defines what is and is not a federal waterway, and what is not is farm ditches. We took those out of the definition, and we also took out of the definition prior converted cropland. So we provided a lot more certainty to farmers, and I also talked about dicamba, the fact that we are currently reviewing the registration by the two of the companies that produce dicamba. They have applied for registration for next year, and we hope to have a decision on that sometime by middle of October. So I talked about those issues and the fact that the environment is cleaner today than it's ever been. Under President Trump, our air pollution is 7% cleaner. We've invested over $40 billion in water infrastructure across the country. We're cleaning up Superfund sites at the fastest pace in over 20 years. And on the enforcement side, our enforcement statistics are much better than the previous administration. I then took some questions from the farmers in attendance, mostly comments, not so much questions. Went to a little bit more depth on the pesticides side and the timing of that decision, as well as the importance and of having the Navajo Waters Protection Rule and how important that is for certainty for farmers across the state. So it was a really good visit. The Fiedler family themselves were very hospitable, opening up their farm. We had a number of people there from the Minnesota Farm Bureau and the Minnesota Corn Growers Association, about a half a dozen different state senators and state representatives, and of course the congressman as well, Congressman Stauber. So it was a really good event, and it's important for me to get out of D.C. and meet with farmers in the field and hear what their concerns are, for me to explain what we're working on and then hear what their comments are so I can take that back to factor into future decisions in D.C.
Administrator, you mentioned the dicamba label was part of the discussion today. Now, that caught the attention of many farmers this summer. That court ruling announced during spray season really kind of threw farmers off. Now with those 2021 labels pending, what are you hearing from Minnesota farmers on that label, the things that need to be changed? And what do you think from hearing them? What does need to be changed to make this label usable for next year?
Well, what I heard was that they want certainty. They want to know whether or not they're able to use dicamba next year, and then they want to make sure that the label is clear, and that's what we're working to do. One of the criticisms of the Ninth Circuit was that there were too many restrictions on the label. It was too hard to follow. So we're taking a hard look at the old label. We're looking at the science that we've gotten, the updated science we've gotten from the companies that are petitioning us for the license, and we want to make sure that we can make a decision on whether or not to go forward with dicamba, and if we do, what the label looks like, so that provides certainty for all the farmers once and for all who either want to use dicamba or want to be told that they can't use dicamba, either way. You know, I can't prejudge the outcome yet because my career scientists haven't brought me their final recommendations, but my commitment is to try to get that decision as quickly as possible so that we provide certainty for next year's growing season. I don't want to prejudge what they're going to bring to me. I've had a few conversations with them, and I know they're looking at a number of different things, but I want to see what they recommend to me first. And I really don't want to send the wrong signals as to what we may be looking at because I'm waiting for their final recommendations.
You'd said a few weeks ago you would be denying the request for retroactive small refinery waivers from 2011 to 2018. That certainly got a lot of praise from the agriculture industry. But Administrator, why did it take so long for the EPA to make that decision?
Well, we just got the we just got them from Department of Energy about a month and a half ago. So we just started going through them. You know, when they apply, when refiners didn't apply for them all right away, so they came in on a rolling basis. We sent them over to Department of Energy. They do their first cut, and that usually takes a few months for them to take a look at the requests and applications and to go through the economic analysis before they send them over to us for EPA to do their analysis. So it was not, we didn't slow it down at all. I think there was some, unrealistic expectations on how fast we could move on that. Because if we get the applications and we just make a decision to either grant them or deny them right away without doing the background analysis, then that will be overturned in the courts. So we have to do the thorough analysis of the applications when we receive them. And the first step is for the Department of Energy, and then the second step is for EPA. So it was actually done fairly quickly. We only had them for a little over a month before we made the decision.
There are other small refinery exemptions pending. What happens to those?
Those are from 2019, and they're the subject of the 10th Circuit Court decision. And the other side in that case is appealed, and so we're waiting to see what the court decision, what ultimately becomes of that court decision, because if we were to prematurely grant or deny them, and then the court either overturn or sustain them, then we would have to, you know, go back and do them again. And it's almost impossible to go back and either take away an exemption or give it to somebody after the fact. So we're waiting for the court to, and as we said back in, what was that, February or March, we were going to wait for the final court decision on that.
What's the status of the 2021 renewable volume obligations?
That is still an interagency review. You know, this is going to be a little trickier because of the market conditions this year. We want to make sure we get it right, and this has just been a really strange year for the fuel markets, and part of what goes into the RVO each year is taking a look at the fuel markets and then, you know, making predictions as to what the next year will be, because we have to do it ahead of time. And, you know, with the virtual shutdown of the economy the first 4 months of the year, it's very tricky, and it's still an interagency review. We hope to get it out as soon as we can, but it may take a little bit of time. We have, you know, the first 3 years of this administration, we got it out on time all 3 years in a row. Our predecessor, the predecessor administration, 1 year was 2 years late. We're certainly not out to beat that record, but we want to make sure we get it right before we put the numbers out there.
The biofuels industry seems to think that maybe that announcement wouldn't happen until after the elections. How would you respond to that? And it sounds like they seem to think that's strategic in some way. How would you respond to, you know, that thought?
We're not looking at a specific date. We're just trying to make sure we get it right. There's a number of factors that goes into setting the volumes, you know, more so on the advanced biofuels, on the biodiesel side. You know, I don't think anybody can predict right now what the economy is going to be like in 6 months and what the fuel demands will be. So we need to make sure we get that right. And we, as soon as we do, as soon as we feel confident in the numbers, we will release those.
Administrator, is there anything else you want to tell farmers and ranchers about any of those outstanding policy issues that we've discussed?
Well, as I hope the farmers have seen a real difference in working with the EPA over the last 3 years. Because under President Trump's leadership, we've worked cooperatively with the farmers, I think, for the first time in our 50-year history. And I hope that shows. I think it shows in all of our decisions and all of our policies. And I hope all the farmers out there agree with me on that.